What did they tell you when they came to your door?
Oh, well, yeah, these people would try to talk you out of going into the service. That was the gist of it, really. Then you're really stupid to fight for this country, to put you in a place like this, and so on and so forth.
These were Issei?
Issei, yeah. And there used to be fights and things like that. You know? The big thing in those days was, you know, when family would disown you, and you know, that type of thing. That was common.
A lot of that happened.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, there was quite a few kibes. I know that the firstborn, a lot of them were sent back to Japan. You could sneak them on the boats, you know, out of there. So.
Oh, you sneak them out and...
Yeah, you sneak them out, sneak them in. That was better than paying the fare.
Well, they must have been collaborating with a seaman then.
Oh, sure. There was relatives on the boats, working on the boats, and that type of thing.
It's really kind of a neat underworld kind of situation.
Yeah, but it just seemed to be part of life then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think about it now, I think, gee, that was all illegal, you know. Not that I care.
Part of a culture.
Yeah.
It's defined as illegal by other people.
Right. But a necessity.
Yeah. Because it's illegal because of the Immigration Act, right? Excluding all Asians.
Right.
How
they were
run?
Filipino community is, I think, very loosely. Loosely knit in the community, I mean in Tribal Island society. They're all the one thing I've got to say about Tribal Island part now, different from Fish Harbor once again. They got along real well, I think. I mean, everybody, you know. There was quite a few Filipinos in the Tribal Island, and not too many living in Fish Harbor. There was a white Russian settlement in Tribal Island, right in the Fish Harbor side there. And the kids used to go to school and everything, Japanese school, and they were Russian. On the Tribal Island side, I think it was predominantly Chicanos, and then the next largest group was Filipino, then white, then Japanese. That's the breakdown, I think. And the school that I went to on the Tribal Island side, there was quite a few Filipino kids going there. I don't remember making any differences, you know, in terms of being Filipino. I never thought of it that way. And I don't really know. I'm trying to think of. I was talking to Pat over at, he owns a Filipino restaurant out in Wilmington. And he was telling me that that Filipinos on Tribal Island were all married.
Oh.
They would be married and then they would move to Tribal Island, but I forgot why he said that was true. But I think it was a good place for the young people to grow up, you know. And it was, you know, I imagine there's about 25% Filipinos in that area.
Heavy. Filipino clients, guess other Filipinos from different parts of Filipino Islands or whatever.
No. they used to have picnics on Terminal Island, Filipino community, and the Filipinos and the Hawaiians used to have some kind of a festival, and Filipinos from all over California would come there for a certain festival of some kind. I don't remember what it was or anything, but I just, and we used to go there and get, you know, pop and stuff like that. It was a yearly thing. They used to have these homemade yo-yos and stuff like that, you know, that they used to give the kids. But I don't really remember anything that like he's talking about.
You were maybe not old enough then, but is there anything about the political, just ideas and talking about politics and stuff that went on?
Very little. The upper society in Terminal Island was white. They were the landowners, and they were the, you know, so on and so forth. And they always, from what my mother tells me, they always looked down on the Japanese and the Chicanos, and the, anything that wasn't white wasn't right, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, did they live on Terminal Island?
Yeah.
Oh, there was an upper class kind of.
Yeah, well, they thought they were, you know, the school teachers and you know, people like Camille Baxter, you know, who graciously allowed us to live there, you know.
No love on the
She said that you didn't exist. I was telling her that.
I never did, you know.
No, I found her so intimidating. Like, you know,
really?
Like, didn't you feel kind of, or was it just me? Like, I was afraid to ask her anything, and like, Terminal Island was such an idolized, it was just like a garden place, and I go, you're kidding. You know, she had this idolized picture of how it was a little place all by itself, you know, impervious to pain from the, that's the feeling I got. And that's, and then when I've heard the other interviews and some of the tapes, it's just totally opposite. I don't know where, of course she was the upper class.
Well, she thought she was.
Well, I don't know.
Not really young. Were the whites who lived there wealthy people?
Well, they were landowners, you know, on the Terminal Island side of it. I can't have a really racist group of whites that used to own the houses, you know. Mm-hmm. And,
were they associated, did these then become, or were they the people who also owned the canneries?
I don't really know who owned the canneries. I don't, that's one of those things that I don't really know.
They might have been really...
Yeah.
Those people probably didn't live on the island, huh?
Yeah, they probably lived in Pasadena.
Yeah, right. They probably still do. How did, in that master's thesis, one of the things he noted was that there was quite a bit of reading done, you know, circulation of... magazines and stuff from Japan.
Oh, yeah.
But was there anything that was written by Terminal Islanders, that was like a local newspaper or something?
Yeah, there was. My uncle was on the staff of the Raffle Shinpo, I think. He used to write about Terminal Island.
Oh. But no separate
end. Oh, no, I'm trying to think of... There was mimeograph newspapers.
There were,
huh? Pretty sure, yeah.
You don't know anybody who has copies?
Gosh, I don't. There might have been a printed newspaper, too. Maybe Dave would know.
Yeah. That would be interesting to see.
Yeah.
That, you know. Where else could we look? Is there any place that comes to mind?
people to check with or about documents or interesting people to talk to? You've got to see that movie that I was telling you about. And Reverend Shirashi has it, and I should have a copy of that. He promised me that he'd let me make a copy of it, so maybe we could do it together. I want a copy of my own, but you guys could.
How much would it cost? Have you checked into that?
No, I haven't, but Sheridan said something about reproductions of 8mm was, and color was like $50 or $100, so black and white should be a lot cheaper.
Maybe we can do that, huh? This is now the. Can you describe the film?
Yeah, it's one of the undokais, you know, and all the flag waving and the different kind of events all taken in the. The different schools and a lot of the people, you know.
It's quite long.
Yeah, it's about 25 minutes long. And it was, you know, it's tremendous in terms of technical. It must have been really high quality film to last this long and really show it's, you know, it's really excellent quality. A lot better than some of the camp films that you've seen.
Oh.
A lot better. And, some of the interesting things that shows a lot of airplanes flying in the background, which came from the naval base, you know. Big deal. It was interesting to me to see how old they were, you know, two-wing Navy airplanes. You know. But yeah, you know, you can see the nationalism. That they wave the flags and they all do the bonsais and the whole thing. Terminal Island, you'd be surprised. The Terminal Island people have songs written specifically for Terminal Island.
Yeah, I would imagine that would happen, though. Can we? They were never recorded or anything.
No, but I know some girls that can still sing.
Still sing them?
Yeah.
That'd be so far out. You could get the paint, huh?
You ought to come to one of the Terminal Island reunions, that's one of the picnics, or they have them every year. Then they have different groups that have, like the Seicho Gakuen.
That's right, thing, you know. When's your next one?
I don't know. I'm on the board, so I'll know.
Okay.
I'll let you know when that happens.
Yeah,
in the other school, and then they have a whole Terminal Island picnic, you know.
Where summertime one, right?
Yeah, where all the white folks get together. Tell us how great they used to be to us.
Oh, that's right. Oh, we've seen some pictures of them. Now, how do you, the ex-teachers and so on, the older white folks are invited and given places of honor. They're being invited by Terminal Islanders, right?
Mostly from the Terminal Island people, not the Fish Harbor people. Fish Harbor people, Terminal Island picnic is different from Fish Harbor picnic. Terminal Island picnic is basically Chicanos and whites. Very few Asians or Filipinos go there.
Mm-hmm. And then what do you call the Fish Harbor people, the Terminal Island?
Fish Harbor people have their own picnics, and the white people aren't invited.
Well, yeah. No, but at the reunion, was it the first reunion? Remember those films, the photographs we saw? Mm-hmm. It looked like there were ex-teachers and so on being honored.
That must have been the, I didn't mean to make it a blanket statement. There was a white guy named Mr. Hudson,
mm-hmm.
who was, I think, idolized by the whole community. Well, he was a real straight dude, you know. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter what color you were. As long as you were a kid, you know. And he used to run the recreation areas out there. And he was at Banning Park for a long time, and he was very, very ill, and they had a reunion to honor him just a while back, two or three years maybe. And at that time, I think a lot of teachers are invited.
I see.
There was a lot of good people, you know.
But you're saying, which I think I can understand, is that there's a kind of basic racial feeling.
That's right. Yeah. They were above you, you know.
Yeah.
Because when it happened that you had to move, nobody came and said, well, hey, you know, let me help you. Let me hold a, let me keep your stuff in my garage. And nothing like that ever happened, you know, nothing. No matter how good they were, you know, they weren't that good.
But it probably, when you're being patronized, you just know it. So even before the war, people must have felt it, huh? This is going to be it's going to be interesting when we finally get put this together, you know, to how you talk about these things, how you put these some kind of perspective.
Well, these are things that have been tempered with my living a lot longer than just that part of my life, you know. It's just that, you know, when you think back, a lot of times things happen to you that, you know, makes you realize that people were racist or that type of thing. And when this type of thing happens to you, when you examine your own perspectives, you know, that it dawns on you that you really, there's a lot of contradictions. And so if you try to clean up your own contradictions, you have to more or less begin by doing those kind of things, you know. Girl.
After the war, and during the war, white people came and worked in the camps. And after the war, it was over, and the two islanders came back. What happened?
They didn't come back.
They didn't?
No, very few of them. A lot of them came into Long Beach. You know, the houses that were on Terminal Island moved into Long Beach, you know, into the dock areas. There's a lot of them, the good homes. Three or four, but you know, the houses were moved in, and you notice a lot of Terminal Island people live in Long Beach.
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah, that's as close as they could get. You know, you want a lot back on the island.
Island.
Yeah,
nobody meant to go back to work there.
Yeah.
No, did he? There's, I think, in terms of percentages, you know, there are very, very few Chinese Americans went to work on the island, per se, especially the canneries. I don't think you find more than 10 Japanese Americans working in the canneries. There was a few instances of the people turning their fishing boats over to other people and getting them back. I know that some of the better boats, the well-known boats, one of them called a Nancy Higgs, had a Filipino crew throughout the whole war, and the owner of the Nancy Higgs used to get a check every month from this crew. At least he got a share from the boat.
One of the rare cases when it worked out.
Very, very rare. Most of them got ripped off.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to the canneries, I think would have been going backwards for the Japanese in general. And things have changed, I think, considerably.
You said the majority of people that came back from war, they didn't go to Terminal Island, so what kind of job were they occupied?
A lot of the fishermen went back, but I'm talking about cannery workers, and there's a big difference there. Cannery work was a menial type of job. You know, people who owned the fishing boats or worked on fishing boats, right after the war, I think that everyone that owned the boat went back to fishing. But gradually, there's only, I think, two fishing boats I'm talking about that you know, culture, our home port, that are owned by Japanese. There's a lot of Japanese working there. A lot of Hawaiians working there. Japanese Hawaiians working there now. But owners, I think there's only two right now. That's all. Compared to, yeah, Fukuzaki and can't think of that.
I never saw that letter, by the way.
Jeez, did you know that I set up a meeting between Visual Communications and Fukuzaki's?
Oh.
They must have a lot of pictures.
They have quite a few.
Yeah, you know, the old man, Fukuzaki was a cameraman. He's got movies.
Yes.
He's got, I hear, big boxes of pictures.
I've seen, you know, one, at least one reel.
Oh, did you?
Very nice.
Yeah, he was color. That was his hobby, you know.
16 millimeter.
Yeah, he would be fantastic to come down here. Yeah.
He's in Japan now. So
he's a little older.
He's back.
No, he was in Carolina. Oh. Is that who your dad works for?
No.
Was that it?
No, he doesn't fish anymore.
He
can't stand fish.
Can't stand fish or fishing.
Visiting them at the county, you know, when I was really little. So I guess they went back and worked in the county sewer ladies. Went back to work.
After war?
Yeah.
After war? Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. You know, they were people who lived in San Pedro and went across the bay to work. Yeah. Yeah. We moved back to San Pedro after war.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And, there was a lot of ladies that used to work at the carriage went back there, you know, but very, very, I mean, compared to, you know, everything was run by whistles on Terminal Island. Every whistle meant something, and every cannery had a separate whistle. So, you know, the mothers would be home, and all of a sudden the cannery would start blowing the whistle, they'd put on their stuff and beat it out to the cannery and work. Sometimes when fish boats would come in one right after the other, they would work for 24, 30 hours, you know, and get it done. Nothing you could do but work on the fish at that time.
Yeah.
No good idea.
Generation.
Yeah.
Good, like,
yeah. And so today it's a little different, you know, I think. You take regular hours, it's a regular job. I don't even know what time it is.
7:30.
Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah, gotta go.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll keep you in touch of progress or lack thereof.
If you have any questions, why don't you give them to Franklin, and because I talk to him every once in a while.
Yeah.
I gotta get together and find out what happened.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for
Thank you for inviting me.